Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of The Wrong End of the Tunnel. Dave is here with me today. Do you want to say hello, Dave?
Hello, everyone. I'm back. Done two in a row now.
I know. You're on fire. We're hitting a winter consistency, I think. I think we're going to make new numbers this winter.
Me too.
So after the controversy of last podcast, I thought we'd go with something a little less stressful today because you upset so many people, Dave.
Everyone wanted to be in the top five. I didn't know everyone's results.
That's the problem, people. With the top five, there's only space for five. And the thing is, that is the whole point. It's very subjective in as much as who affected you or who influenced you doesn't necessarily mean they influenced someone else. So Dave's picks were Dave's picks. You don't need to get upset by it, though, okay? We had lots of nasty messages.
Oh, my goodness. People saying, why did you put them in the top five? And had other people saying, why didn't you put these other people in the top five? And I'm like, well, it was a hard choice. Yeah. But, well.
Yeah, there's only so many people you could pick. But I just want to tell everyone who didn't make Dave's top five, you would have been in my top five. And also, everyone who was in...
You make everyone love you.
Yeah.
No.
And also, everyone who was in Dave's top five, you deserved your spot and well done to you.
That's it. Everyone love Kurt. Sitting on the fence.
So this week, though, what we're going to do, we're going to chat about something that is relevant to both of us, but more than that, I think is relevant to quite a lot of people in agility, and it's about having your partner who does agility. Now, obviously, I'm with Amy. Amy kind of got me into agility in the first place. Dave, do you want to introduce your partner for those who don't know?
Well, you know, I'm with Dan. If people didn't know we're gay, we're not just best friends. He is actually my partner. You know, it was such a secret. Nobody would have known he was gay. He's so manly.
Yeah, I know. He's such a butch man, isn't he?
He really is, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's quite a... I don't want to say controversial, but there's a lot of different ways of approaching it, I suppose. First thing, though, here's a question that I didn't actually plan on asking. Who's the most famous partnership in agility? And again, I'll say that you don't have to name yourself so that you don't feel bad.
Well, the most famous partnership in agility, that is, I don't know, it's changed over the years, hasn't it? Obviously, I think the Brays for a long time in England were quite a famous partnership.
Were they? They were the Victoria and David Beckham, were they?
Yeah, they were quite a famous partnership. When I was starting agility, they were a very famous partnership. Who now? Obviously, you've got Christina and Alex. But Alex doesn't actually do agility, but they're just very well known as a partnership that you do agility together. And I don't know. Who do you think?
Well, I don't want to say it because I know you'll love it, but probably you and Dan are up there, I would say, aren't you?
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, I got what you're waiting for. But that's what I was saying. What about fishing? Probably Nara and Martin are right up there, I would guess.
I know. I hate to say it too. I hate to big them up. But yeah, absolutely. They're definitely a bit of a power couple at the moment. I think Tash and Matt as well for a while.
Yeah. What about outside of England then? We've got Jess and Perry in from USA.
Oh, yeah. The USA girls, they're doing absolutely amazing at the moment. I think they're the main ones. But yeah, definitely Martin and Nara are up there as a power couple at the moment. I can't think of anyone abroad that's got a couple that's doing really well.
You've got Silas and Daniel. I know Daniel doesn't compete either.
Oh, I thought you meant other Daniel. I was thinking, what? yeah, of course. Silas is obviously very good. Daniel doesn't compete a lot. I think he likes judging. He does a bit of competition. I think he's very good. But yeah, I don't think they're known as like a couple that both do really, really well.
Yeah, there's going to be some we missed.
They were together.
Go on, say it again.
If Tobias and Daniel were together, I think they would be a power couple, but I do think they actually are just friends.
Yeah. We won't start any rumours. I'm sure we've missed some power couples, so if we have, let us know. We've got an inbox full of people's top fives that we'll make our way through, and then we'll get to your top partnerships as well then. So the first thing then we're going to talk about with regards to partnerships, I think the very obvious thing is the competitive side of it. How do you find it with Dan?
Well, obviously we're super competitive against each other. But we also really like seeing each other do well. It's a real tough one when you're with your partner in agility, because obviously I want to see him do well, but I also don't really want to see him beat me. I'm sure he feels exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of times we have been first and second in something, and if I mess up, then absolutely I want him to win. But if I'm winning and he's running, I'm thinking, oh no. But yeah. It is a really hard one because, you know, we both love to win. Everyone loves to win, don't they? And it's been very up and down throughout our careers together, who's going to beat who. But there has been a few times where it's not gone well when one of us has beaten the other one.
Yeah.
And a few times it's been absolutely fine. So it's very much... and dependent on the day and the situation, I think, and the class.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. It doesn't matter so much when you're in grade three and both trying to win up. I think it'll get...
Well, to be honest, I would say that's been our biggest arguments when we're trying to win them up. I think once when Ditto and Fane were young, and I thought Fane was this incredible young dog, and then Ditto, who was a cool dog, but maybe not, as I didn't think, in the same class as Fane, Ditto beat her. And I was furious. I couldn't even talk to him. I said, "You have never seen you push her as fast as you pushed her. You were trying to beat me." I needed one more win to get to grade six or something. I was so angry. So that didn't go down well. And then when Commotion and Boffin were young, Commotion, the only time he ever beat Boffin, and he beat her, and Dan was livid. I thought, well, that's exactly what happened before. You were livid at me. And then I said to him, this is probably the only time Commotion will ever beat Boffin. And I was right. Of course I was right. But I was right. It was the only time Commotion ever beat Boffin, and probably one of the last clear rounds he ever had as well, to be honest.
Well, we had... me and Amy just had two young dogs kind of going through the grades together, didn't we? And I remember, I think it might have even been the last grade, so in grade six or whatever. For those people who don't know, in UK, you need a certain amount of agility wins, and then you can have the rest made up of jumping or agility. And I remember that Amy had all of her jumping wins. So she didn't need any more jumping wins.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And she went on the course... And her dog is probably faster than mine if they both have really, really good runs. At the moment, she is probably a little bit faster. And she had a jumping run that she didn't need. And she went...
Oh, I bet you were livid.
She absolutely went for it and went clear. And I was just like, you fucking... Why? Like, why did you do that?
So... angry.
I know. Yeah, the thing for me wasn't even that, like, if we both needed to win, I'm fine with it. I really am. It's like, you know, we're in competition. I genuinely don't mind if she beats me, in the sense that if we both go for it and she deserves the win, no problem. All right. But like, to me, I was like, you don't even need this jumping win. Why did you just go absolutely? Because there was only one other dog that would have beaten me as well, and that was the annoying thing. It was like, it was only Amy's dog who would have been able to beat me at that time, and she went and did an absolute screamer of a run. So it made me run angry, and I think she was relieved that I actually did beat her on the day, because she could see how fuming I was as well. I was like, for fuck's sake, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'd have been fuming. Well, we've got this thing, like me, well, Martin and Nara and me and Dan are saying, like, if we have an agility champion already and the other one of our partner needs a ticket win, that we will let them win. But I find it so hard. I don't mind that normal class, but on a ticket, I kind of like to win as many tickets as possible. And I don't want to let someone beat me a ticket, but I know I probably would. I'd make either hold a seesaw or make a mistake or do something. But then I feel like, have they actually won? Because I might have beaten them.
That's the problem. Like, from my point of view, from my point of view on a ticket, I think it is hard, because
it's really hard.
Will they always be like, I don't know? And it's like, I don't know if they'd care. I can't speak for anyone else, but I know if for example I was in that situation, I would probably think to myself, oh, it'd be nice if Amy held her seesaw, but then if she did and then I won, I'd also be like, what? Did I deserve it? I don't know. Like, it's a hard
one. That's how I would feel. That's how I'd feel. But Martin and I definitely would probably, I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure they would let each other win. But also is then that person's at crafts and they could beat you at crafts. And also, but if you don't let them win, you've also then got to drive home with them, which is going to be a horrible journey home because they're like, I really wanted that ticket. Oh, it's just, that's when it's easier for maybe if you drive in separate cars.
Yeah, it's a hard one. There's different levels of competition. And the one thing I'll say is I'm sure you are similar. Whenever we are walking a course, at this point, it's been a bit different for me and Amy because we haven't had dogs in the same height. And when we have, no, I just don't think we have. Now we've both got our young dogs, Moose and Duck, and they're both kind of getting into grade 7. So, you know, we are going to be kind of going against each other in those classes. But the one thing I will say, I never, ever will kind of give, and I'm not saying other people do this either, but like when I walk a course, I generally try to be helpful. I don't try and sabotage your runs and kind of give her advice that I don't think is the best. Do you know what I mean? Is that what you've done?
No, I would never do something like that. No, I just tend to either, if we're competing against each other, I'm not sure I give my opinion too much, unless it really asks for it. But I tend to, we tend to just walk our own thing if we're competing against each other. And unless we really needed help, we wouldn't really ask. We'd talk to each other about the course, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't tell him how to do something. I'm so scared of telling him how to do it and then it going wrong anyway.
Yeah.
And I get the blame for that.
Yeah.
It's just easier just not.
And that's happened to me before as well.
Oh, yeah. Then you get, everyone wants someone or something to blame when it goes wrong. And, you know, it's going to be us. If we've said, do it that way, and it goes wrong, then even though they fucked it up, and it was probably their fault went wrong, it's still going to be our fault for saying
that. That's what I felt like saying. I was like, yeah, it's my advice to do it that way. It was you who did it fucking terribly, though.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's not going to go down well, especially if they've just had a bad run. You don't want to, you don't want to kick them while they're down.
Yeah, no, for definite. And I tell you what, the bit that drives me mad, and I know it's the same the other way around, so I don't even feel bad saying it, is when you know you've done a run and you know you've done something wrong, and you come off, and the first thing they say is, oh, yeah, you were late on that blind. It's like, yeah, I fucking know I was. Obviously, that's why my dog went in the tunnel. You don't need to tell me. Obviously, I'm not stupid.
I think we've learned when someone, when they first come out, all I ever say is positives. I get, oh, that was good, but that was good. And he's like, and same with me. I'm like, but I've learned just to say positives when they come out. Maybe later,
yeah,
I will broach the subject of it could have been your fault. The only time I'd say it is if, and it's not right like me and Dan to do this, but if they come out and actually blaming the dog, and then I would say, well, actually, it was your fault. But as far as me and Dan don't really do that, I'm not saying we never do it because we're all human, but most of the time I'd say we'd blame ourselves or a crappy course.
Yeah,
definitely like to blame the course.
Yeah, in the moment, obviously, you can get caught up in it and then kind of be a bit like, oh, I don't understand what happened. But like, you know, you're sensible enough that when you watch back the video, you can see if it is or isn't your fault. And you know, ultimately, it's always our fault, because even if we did handle it all right, if they did it wrong, we haven't trained it right. And I know you know that. You always tell me off. Because like I say, in the moment, you're like, well, I don't understand. I don't understand. But obviously, once you're outside of that moment, you can kind of look in and kind of, you know, take a bit of...
Well, unless they say something and then I don't agree and I instantly want to get it up on camera and show them I wasn't fucking late. Especially Martin. Martin's a real big one for like, oh, you were late now. I'm like, I fucking wasn't. And I'll get the proof up and here it is. And see, and then I love to tell him, see, ha!
Slow motion it. That's what slow motion was made for, isn't it?
Exactly.
So this is something that someone else had asked me, and genuinely, I've never felt this. Jealousy. Now, it's a bit different for me and Amy, because obviously I feel like, well, I don't feel like, we haven't been doing agility for as long as you. It's just really some of our first dogs coming through, so haven't had the chances to maybe feel jealousy. But obviously, we've done some stuff as well, got into the Welsh team and qualified for stuff, crafts and all that kind of stuff. And the year that Amy qualified for crafts, I didn't. But I didn't ever feel jealous about that. I didn't ever feel like, oh, I can't believe I didn't get that. I don't know if you've ever felt that kind of thing.
Not for qualifiers. Like I had EOs this year. Dan had Worlds, and I really wanted Worlds. So I wasn't at all jealous. I was just super happy for him having that. I think the only time jealousy is, I think if I came, like, say it was a big event like Crafts or Olympia or something, he came first, I came second. I think it's the only time I probably feel a little bit jealous as at a big event coming, you know, being knocked either down to like fourth or out the medals, or even just not winning and coming second. I think I would definitely struggle not to. That's so hard because I'd be so happy for him.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. So is that really actually jealousy then, though? Or is it just the fact that you're like, well, fuck, I missed the medal. It didn't matter that it was... Like, it's not that, oh, it's Dan who won. I'm fuming.
Yeah, I don't think it's jealousy like that. Like, yeah. Like, it's that the year I at Crufts where Geek won the champ ticket and I had the fastest time, had a pole down. I was really like, obviously, it was nothing his fault. I was jealous because I wanted to win, but also... You know, I had a pole. There's nothing he could have done differently. He had an amazing round, but I had the faster time. It was so irritating. I was irritated, not jealous, I think.
Yeah, I think it's not...
also so happy for him.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's a little bit different. Like, what I think you're feeling is similar to what I would feel maybe if we were in, like, a qualifier and I could have done something, but I didn't, but Amy did something well. I would never feel bad that she had that and I didn't. I'd just be frustrated at myself for not getting that, if that makes sense. I never like not want her to have it. I don't think that's
exactly
thing. I mean, I don't know.
I think I'd be more jealous, and I've been a little bit jealous of, this is why I don't want Lid puppies out of the same litter again, that he had Boffin, I had Commotion. Boffin was not easy, but a lot physically a lot more talented than Commotion. I found that harder to deal with, because however much training I did with Commotion, he just can't be as good as Boffin. He just can't be physically, he's just not as capable. And I found that harder, and I was definitely more jealous of that, because I saw myself putting in a lot more work than Dan did, a lot more training. Like, Commotion's probably been trained more than any dog I've ever had, and still can't really do it. He just struggles physically, either eyesight or something about his jumping, it's weird. And I found that hard, because obviously I could have picked a different puppy. I wouldn't want to pick a different puppy with him. I love him so much, but for agility-wise, one of the others probably would have been a better shout. So that, I think, definitely had a bit of jealousy there. But that wouldn't just be for my partner. That would be for anyone who had a better dog than me out the litter, I think. A more naturally talented dog, I should say.
Yeah, and that's kind of like an amplified version of the situation as well, isn't it? Because, like, your partner, you're going to be competitive because you've got pups the same age, but you've even got pups from the same litter. Like, me and Amy have twice had dogs... Because, like, both of our intermediate dogs, Duck and Moose, they kind of came out similar-ish times. And now we've both got border paps, but they're not from the same litter. So it's not the same as what you've kind of gone through.
No, it's really hard. I definitely wouldn't want to do two outlets. Not saying we never will again, but it's not saying I want to do. That's why I've kind of gone a slightly different route to Dan with the puppies. Just, they're similar, but they're different. And I just don't want to... Like, I could have got a repeat mating of Nerds and I went for a different dad just because I didn't want to compare to what he already had, just in case it wasn't what I was expecting. I just think that's hard, because you have to see it all day, every day. You have to see them doing really well, you're struggling. That's where I find it a bit harder than just watching them do well. I think results-wise, I don't really get jealous, but I would definitely be a bit jealous if they had the more talented puppy and I was putting all this work in and it wasn't really working out.
I do understand. Like I said, I can't compared to that, because obviously I've not been in that situation, but I can imagine that is difficult. What about nerves then, when you're watching, and obviously if you're not involved yourself? So there's lots of situations where, you know, even if you've had a run and you've bombed out, so you're not really in the competition anymore. For me, it's not that I don't get nervous, but I've never really seen it as nerves. I've always framed it as kind of like excitement. So I don't get nervous as such, because I know I'm in control of it. But then if I'm watching Amy and I know that there's something on the run, I'm so nervous. And it's because I think it's because I'm helpless, in the sense that I have got nothing I can do to help her. It's horrific.
Watching's always worse. Like, I shit myself when Dan's running, because I'm so desperate for it, especially if I'm not in the class. I'm so desperate for him to do well. And obviously, you know, happy wife, happy life, for you especially.
Yeah.
If they do well, you know you're going to have a much easier evening than if they don't do well.
Yeah.
But it's not the only reason, of course. I'm just so happy for him doing well. And, you know, I know how much work he puts in and how much it means to him. You know, and I do. I can't hardly watch. I'm like that. I'm like that with my hand over my eyes, looking through fingers. I'm so nervous of it going wrong. And then as soon as it does, if it does go wrong, it's like, oh, God. It's just, you don't know what to say to them, because you know. Like, they, especially if it's a friend saying, oh, no, why, they're like, oh, I know, but if you're saying it, they're like that, not angry at you, but just angry at the situation and upset.
That's
of course they're going to take it out on their partner more than anything.
Yeah, of course. I mean, but that's the thing as well, I think, with agility partnerships, in a sense, is you get to see behind the veil of like how much work has gone into something. Whereas like a lot of people, you know, I don't even mean this in a bad way. So obviously the way it is, they see you only after show. So obviously they're going to know there is a sense of, you know, attachment's the wrong word. Obviously I've got more value in what Amy does compared to other people. Obviously she's, you know, my wife. But for example, I know you said then you did a lot more with Commotions. And like, I know for Dan, he did a lot more with Ditto. So I've spoken to Dan about it. And like, his champ ticket win with Ditto meant more to him than the other dogs because of how much he had to get him there.
Absolutely. And like,
I feel that with Amy, with her dog Keffi. I know how hard it was for her to get to the point that she's at. So it means more as well. And like, I'm always nervous, whoever she's running. But like with Keffi, I just think to myself, oh, come on, Kef, just once. Do you know what I mean? Know. Like, she's worked so hard to get her to the level that she's at. And like, sometimes she can run really good. And like, I'm really happy then because I know Amy will be happy. And then sometimes she can just be super frustrating. And I'm just like, oh my God.
No, they're going to be so disappointed. Like, same with Boffin. Like, even though she's been easier than Commotion physically, she's still not an easy dog. And, you know, we've had to put, so I have helped Dan quite a lot with Boffin, with her jump style, with her dog walk initially. We train her quite a lot together. He definitely allows me to help him a bit more than I probably allow him to help me, because I don't know, I just feel like he gets a bit more frustrated with me when he's trying to train me. I don't know how it is, but we do help each other out. Of course, I've taken so much from Dan, and we do train together a lot, but we do try our hardest not to get irritated with each other, because training with your partner is hard, because that's the person who's going to get it in the neck as soon as anything goes wrong.
Yeah, it is hard. Definitely.
It is hard. But we do train together and we help each other out a lot with things. I definitely would say probably I help him out. I go out and train with him a bit more than he would come out and train with me, but that's just how it is. I quite like watching him train. I like training dogs. I don't think he actually enjoys it as much as I do in that respect. Not that he doesn't enjoy it, but I just am a bit more obsessive with it, I would say.
Yeah, you've got your... Yeah, I suppose because like you've been in agility for longer than Dan, you've got your... I don't want to say system, but I suppose you've got your way of doing things and you're happy enough to kind of just do that and not be, it's not that Dan is reliant, I'm sure, but just you've got your way, haven't you? And then you just want to kind of...
Yeah, and Dan has, you know, our ways are very similar, but Dan has slightly different ideas than me, and, you know, and I absolutely will take them on board. I have taken loads on board in the past, but I am quite a stubborn person and I do think what I do is quite good. Whew, my head's going huge. So arrogant. But you know what I'm saying? And I do, but if I'm having an issue, I will talk to him about it. I'll talk to my friends about it. I'll talk to Dan about it. I'll say, look, this is problem. Is you anyone got any ideas? And then Martin will say something. I'll say, you fucking idiot, stupid. But I'm always picking on poor Martin. But I do talk to my friends a lot about all we all do. We all try and help each other out. And Sean is really, I really like talking to Sean about training. We've both been doing it such a long time and we're very similar with what we do. So I really enjoy talking to Sean about issues, and I actually enjoy talking to Shannon as well about training issues, because we do quite things quite similarly, and then you don't get so angry at your friends either. It's easier to keep emotion out of it.
What is one thing then that you do differently that causes a problem?
Oh my God. I'm definitely less... Dan's very rewardy, 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 and I am very rewardy, rewardy. But I would say he goes what I would call over the top rewarding with some dogs. Like, I don't think Nerd's always needed such a crazy reward because he's already nuts. And I'm just a bit like, yeah, have to go exit, and that'll do. But he goes wild, crazy. So we don't argue about that. But I would say I don't reward, because then he also allows biting. And biting really makes me mad. And he allows it. So then when I go to train him or play with him and he bites me, I want to kill him.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't. But I hate, because he doesn't just bite by accident. He really wants to bite because he's just playing. It's just how he's a very bitey dog, that whole litter are. So that drives me mad because I say stop. Because Dan encourages the biting. He doesn't feel pain. Like, I've had Boffin was literally hanging off his bingo wing at one point. And he's just like, ow. And I've been screaming my head off while on the floor crying. Like, he's got a much higher pain threshold than I have. And he quite likes to not encourage biting, but he doesn't correct it like I would do. If my dog's accidentally getting me, I'm like, hey, be careful. Which is that he thinks it's freaking hilarious. So it doesn't cause an argument, but that's definitely something we're a bit different of with how much we allow our dogs to be a bit naughty, yeah. Just in general life as well.
We had, Amy and me had one particular thing. She always used to, one of the ways that I get my dogs, and I know you're probably going to side with her on this, which is a bit of a nightmare for me. one of the ways that I kind of do the discrimination on a turn with my dog is if I need them to come tighter to me, I will ask for their collection turn and call their name as well. It kind of just, that's the way. I know you're already shaking your head. Don't shake your head.
I'm going to roll my eyes.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you should just train it. And I'm like, yeah, I do train it. But then in the competition, I call a name as well to make sure they're coming with me. And then the greatest thing in the world happened to me. Silas agreed with me. And I was like, see, Amy, you moron, this world champion.
How is Amy so much more intelligent than you? Poor Amy, I'm sorry.
Well, I was so happy. I was so happy he agreed with me.
I'm a bit namey. I call names as well, but I wouldn't train it with a name.
No, I'm saying in competition. I'm saying in competition, if you've got some discrimination after a tight turn, you call them to make sure they're coming with you.
All right, well, I will agree with that. I'm a bit of a namer. I do like to give a good old name when they're not coming in.
Yeah, but, you're a legger. You're a legger. Susan, legger.
Yeah. Well, Dobby only had two cues. Dob. Dob for a turn. Oh, he had right and left, but every tight turn was just dob. Worked a bloody treat, got silver medal with that.
I was going to say, imagine how good he could have been, like, if you actually taught him something.
Oh, my God. Could have beaten Lisa. That bitch kept beating me. Old fashioned, but she is right, annoyingly.
Yeah,
let's call their name because Silas said it as well, and he wins lots of stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna, that's what I said when he took, because we went on a training thing with him, and there was one particular sequence bit where it was a tight turn, and then there was a massive, I can't even remember the discrimination, I just remember the outcome because he agreed with me. But we had to like get them to come with us. And I said to Silas, I was like, well, what would you say here? And he said, just call his name. And I was like, I fucking knew it. Just call his name. Exactly. Stop making it so hard. So easy.
I'm very much like, I will say people call their names as well. And some people are like, no, they can't call their names. They've got to give cues. And I'm like, just call their name. It's like directions out of tunnels. They drive me mad. It's not a fucking tunnel direction. It's a jump cue. And they're saying left and right. They can say anything. The dogs will turn the same fucking way.
Yeah,
if they call their name, they will turn better. I've been having this argument with some people this morning. A name generally works better than other things. And it's not as long as you don't devalue it, which I don't because I reward it so much.
Yeah.
Fine to say. It's, the problem is people that devalue their dogs' names and then the dogs just ignore them. But as long as you train it right, same with any cue.
But that's the thing, is like my dogs, and I know you're the same, is that like you don't often call legacy in everyday life. You call it Susan, don't you? And it's the same with my dog. My dog's names are ridiculous because I don't call them it in everyday life. I use them when I need them to come to me in agility. So it stands out. So it's like.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's so, why they all have stupid nicknames.
Exactly, yeah. And this is what I try to explain. Every time they hear their full name, they get rewarded a lot for it, so that when they do hear it, of course, they don't just fuck off and take what they want.
And if they ignore it, you chase them down. You say, no.
Copernicus, no! Get back up.
How dare you ignore your name?
Yeah. But there are good things, obviously, to having a partner in agility, and one of them is having help with training, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, well, people think me and Dan train together probably more than we actually do. But if I need help, I will say, Dan, can you come and help me? Like, come and help me with some seesaw training or some dog walk training. And same with him. If he needs help, I always come out. So usually I do like doing a lot of training by my own. Same with he does. And actually, we're probably more relaxed when we're on our own training because you're not then worrying about what other people are thinking. But we do go out, you know, if I need help, Dan's the first person I would always turn to for come to help me training, and I'd hope I would be the same for him. So we do train together quite well, 80% of the time, I'd say.
Yeah, and not I think 100%. It's as well probably stuff that like maybe take for granted, in that like only because like I see some people who have got a partner who's willing to help them but aren't in agility, and they just look so weird doing like restraints or doing anything.
Oh,
like
God,
that.
No, it's terrible.
It's like things like that. You kind of take for granted how helpful it is to have someone who actually understands like dog training a little bit.
Oh, so many people say, oh, you know, I'm doing my online training. I'm like, well, can you get someone to restrain her? Oh, I'll encourage my husband in to come and help me restrain. I said, but he doesn't like it. I said, well, just withhold sex. I mean, come on. It's you hold all the cards here. Like, say you've got to do it or else no sex for a month. So I think it's, you know, but it is always very awkward when you see someone who doesn't understand dog training to doing restraints or anything. I mean, they can do it. And it's probably quite good for the dog sometimes to be held by someone else. But yeah, it's definitely, you take that for granted with your partners who do agility, because it makes life a lot easier when they understand what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. And then kind of going into another area of it then. There's lots of people then who have partners who aren't in agility, but perhaps they're getting to a point where maybe they're settling down, maybe starting a family. And it would make their life way easier if their partner was in agility. So how do they go about encouraging that? What would you do?
God, I don't know. Just try and, I don't know, because I've seen it before. And it's, I've seen, obviously been in agility a long time now, like 30 odd years. I've seen it break up a lot of relationships because people get addicted to it. You know what it's like, it's very addictive. And you just want to do it. You want to do it all the time. And the partners are like, they like it start with, then they're like, all right, can we do something else this weekend? Like, well, no, I'm at a show. That's what a ridiculous thing to say. And I've just seen it break up so many relationships, and people just can't cope with it. I don't think I could be with someone who wasn't in agility. Now, they would not understand how much I train my dogs, like how much I go to shows. And I don't want to do other things. I don't want to go to a bloody wedding when there's an important show on. I don't want to go out for dinner when there's, I want to go train my dogs. Like, and I would be so stubborn about it, because that's what I've done for so long. And I can understand why it breaks people up, because I'd be the same. But there has to be a balance. And, you know, and I've said that to some people before. I said, why don't you just, you know, take a weekend off and go and do something? And they refuse to. And then eventually the relationship breaks up. And I think, oh, I fucking saw that coming.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, obviously I wasn't in agility when Amy started. And I never thought I would be. I always used to think to myself, well, is she going off and doing weird stuff with the dogs on the field? I'll just go and do something else. Like, literally.
Now we're bloody stuck with you.
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing. I think what the advice I would give people, especially if you've got a husband who, like for me, I've always done sports, and I've always been fairly, like, I've like enjoyed the competitive side of it. And like with most sports, when you get to a certain age, especially if you're competing at a good level, age does become the restricting barrier. Like, you can't play certain sports forever at a certain level. So for me, I never ever thought of agility as being competitive. But then when I realized it could be, I just thought, well, that's actually a sport that I could possibly be competitive at for a long time. So I think that's kind of what drew me to it, in the sense that it was something I was useless at that I thought I should be better at, because I just thought it was like you're running around the field
to start with.
I'm just happy that I'm not useless anymore. I'll take it. That's a win.
Oh, wow. It'll be nice this one.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Same with James and Lizzie, I think. Lizzie was into it first before James. Yeah. Adams. And now he absolutely loves it. Again, he was into sports before. And if people are competitive and they like dogs, like, why wouldn't you enjoy it? Like, it is fun, and it is, you know, all the time we spend for, like, you know, fucking a minute and a half in a ring each day with one dog, it's crazy. Now, that's over three runs, obviously not on one run, hopefully. but yeah, it is a crazy sport. Like, it's such short periods, but the amount of training that goes into running for 30 seconds is immense if you do it right. But I think, yeah, that's the way of getting them into it if they're competitive. If they're not a competitive person,
take them to Iconics.
They might enjoy Iconics is a fun one. But if they're not a competitive person, I mean, some people do just like doing it because they like running around with their dogs. But I think most men are more competitive. And, you know, the amount of men I train is minimal compared to women. And they don't want to always put the time into the training. And I would say, on the whole, gay men prefer putting time into training. straight men just want to get out there, compete, and just do it. Whereas the gay guys generally like training a bit more. And I don't know, you know, obviously the straight guys with the gay side to them, like you and James and Martin, then they they obviously quite like the training too. But on the whole, I'd say as a whole, straight guys generally don't want to do the training like the gay guys do, which is a bit weird. Maybe more compassionate, I don't know, a bit more patient. I don't know what it is.
The one thing I will say is, even when I thought that like I would never do agility, it wasn't like I always loved our dogs. It was never a case of like, oh, why is she doing stuff with the dogs? I don't get it. I always got it. I just never thought that I would do it as well. So, and I think most people are like that though, aren't they? Like everyone who's got a dog understands the love for a dog.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I don't think so. That's ever the issue, is the sense of like, I never ever thought, oh, I don't get why she's spending so much time with the dogs. So as soon as I got to spend more time with them and you do the training and you see how much they're enjoying it, that helps as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I think if you love your dogs and you love training them, like I love training my dogs. It's not just have to be agility. I think that so many people are like that. I just love doing stuff, training my dogs to do things. It's so rewarding for me to see them even just climbing on a box, you know, all sorts of things. I just love doing stuff with them and seeing that how happy they are and how happy it makes them and building that relationship. And I think so many women will train their dogs for the guy.
If
they're not into it, and then they just pick them up and run them. And I think that sort of gets people into it enough a little bit to start with.
Yeah.
And then if they get the bug for it, and then they start wanting to do it more themselves, then eventually they get their own dog. But I do think that's how they get into it, is running their partner's dog.
Well, that's what happens to me.
Already trained.
That's kind of what happened to me, in the sense that Amy got pregnant, and I'm not talking in a stupid way. It was her first agility dog, so it wasn't like unbelievably well trained. Had the basics to compete, and it had nice contacts and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, first agility dog, it's not going to change the world kind of thing. She asked me to take over just to keep his fitness up. So I came into agility with, I think he was like 5 at the time. Obviously, it's still grade 2. Amy wasn't competitive at all before I got into agility. She used to like celebrate coming 17th in the class. I was like, what the fuck is that? Wasting your time. What are you doing? I look back at it now, and I was quite lucky in the sense that like my first dog was trained, and like that's
lucky.
A good point, Dave. That is a good point.
Was it your plan all along? Get her pregnant, steal her dog.
Yeah. Well, I think she'd have been quite happy.
She should have done it when she had better dogs.
I was going to say, I needed to wait a few years until she knew what she was doing as well. I'd steal.
I love what you said. Amy just got pregnant. Oh, like she was the Virgin Mary or something. I don't know how that happened.
Divine conception, isn't it? Is that what it's called? I probably messed that up. I feel like I'm going to have to check that up.
You did it too early. You should have let her get better dogs and then got her pregnant. That's the way you should do it.
Well, she'll always tell you that she wishes she had Figaro later on, because, I mean, for work ethic and intelligence, he was class, but he didn't have the structure for it.
Yeah, he was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that, I mean, you go back now and I think, yeah, I could have definitely done more with him if I'd have known more, but you don't for your first dog.
We all say that, like, Dobby was probably the most genius dog I ever had. And he obviously did well and got silver medal or whatever, but if I had him now, oh, he was just a genius, like the cleverest dog in the world. If you just knew, but so many people would say that about some of their old dogs, wouldn't they? Like,
yeah, for sure.
If you had them now, the difference. I could say this probably same 10 years time about the dogs I've got now. It changes so much all the time.
Yeah, you learn as you go as well, don't you? So I think that's as much as that we're going to talk about with that today. I think we've covered some good areas there. But before we go, because we missed it out on the last one, it's that time again. It's the Agility Net question of the week. Agility Net
question of the week. Agility Net question.
See, you know the theme tune. Everyone is haters. They hate us. Sing the theme tune.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
What is the best dry robe?
The dry robe.
The one it's named
honestly,
after.
Now, and I mock Jackie and Julie so much. Jackie and Julie Terrell, because they have the cheap version. And I say, what are those? And they've all got this little gang of them. I can't remember what they're called. I think it's the name of a bird or something. And they're horrible. And I say, you are not in the dry robe clan. You've got these horrible cheapies, and I don't like to see them. So the dry rope is the best. So you can get these cheap knockoffs, absolutely. And if you can't afford a dry rope, then go for it. But save up for a dry rope, because there's nothing better. And well, before I ever had a dry rope, I said I'd never wear one. They're hideous. And then I got re-drenched one day, bit the bullet, and now I never take it off in the winter, because it is the best thing in the world.
Yeah, well, you say, I said the same about Crocs as well, but you wear Crocs as well, don't you?
I wear Crocs? What do you mean?
Disgusting. Disgusting!
Oh, they are disgusting, but they're so comfortable and easy. I wouldn't wear them out like Dan wears them down the pub. Disgusting. He's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
So, no, but yeah, I do wear a dry rope, and I do wear it everywhere. And you can just get away with, you can wear whatever you want under there. I mean, obviously, I don't wear weird things under there.
But you know, have to tell us about your fetishes, Dave, with your little thong on.
Nobody knows what I've got on under that. And you can be as fat as you want under there. You can put on all that winter weight. No one knows. dry rope all the way.
So for people who aren't as snobby as Dave, dry robes were around a lot longer than dry robe existed. When I used to surf, they used to be around, and the make that I used to wear was called a moon wrap. I don't know if they're still about. I would assume they are, but that's another option, is a moon wrap. I think it's called
Kestrel. I think that's what those ladies wear. I can't remember what it's called. Doesn't James have one called Babyfoot or something, which would suit him down to the ground? He's got such tiny little feet.
I know Dalt has one to do with salt or something, didn't he? Salty or something?
Salty
or something like that? I'm not sure.
Anyway, they're all cheapskates.
by a dry rope. Originally, they were designed for people down the beach who had to, like, instead of putting a towel around them, you just put a dry rope on and change underneath.
Yeah,
that's the original use.
You can change them, okay? But don't get the ones with the short sleeves.
I agree. You've got to get the long.
You've got to have a long sleeve one. So if you are going to buy a dry rope, do not get a short sleeve one, because that's stupid.
And because we've advertised dry robes so much, if they want to send us both dry robes, then we'd be happy to take them.
I've already got two, but I would love a third.
Yeah, I would love a first. But that's it for us today, Dave. Fantastic episode. I'm sure you'll agree.
Of course it was.
Do you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone. See you soon.
Yeah, see you later. Follow me. Follow me. Went to the top.